Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the art.
Welcome back to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tonight's a big night. We have myself, Tiny, in the house, and then we also have Matt Groves, ambassador for Augusta Distilling Company, correct?
Augusta Distillery, Augusta, Kentucky.
All right, and Well, you've kind of been in the background on a podcast once before, right?
Yes. You probably heard me laughing uncontrollably in the background of one. Oh gosh, it must have been the spring, maybe early summer at Revival Vintage Spirits when you guys were talking. You also had RD1, my buddy Barry from RD1, a couple others in there chatting when we initially got to meet each other. But yeah, that was my debut. Sort, if you will.
Yeah, and it's kind of like we got to meet there, and I can definitely say down at Revival that we were down there for that day, and it was like we were supposed to be there initially for Brad, and then Brad said that you guys were coming up, you know, and then all of a sudden Barry's coming along too, and we got this like what would you say, like this rock concert with all the different players all of a sudden playing on the podcast, and it just kind of went wild because I didn't know what to expect, right? I mean, I had met...
It was so impromptu, so off the cuff. It was hilarious, and it was educational, and it was informative. I think it was like the perfect storm of podcast guests and venues to host, and obviously hosts, you know, on your all's behalf, because CT was there. I think a few others were there. I think your wife was there for that one.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
And I don't think Supernash was up, but I do believe Whiskey was there too with his wife.
He was.
So we had come up and, you know, we were coming back from, I believe, podcasting a couple different places, but this was the one that, you know, and then we were, I don't know, whatever that was. We were at RD1 beforehand, so we kind of got primed. It's just
perfect.
Yeah, perfect. You know, and when you go to Revival, a lot of times, you know, the barrel picks are there. There's no doubt. They're running barrel picks all the time, But then you're just, you know, Brad's just pouring vintage spirits down your throat and you're just going, what am I tasting? You know, it just, yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It's, I look at Brad's as a vintage candy store, right? It's like you're going back and it's, it brings back and you get to do stuff like that. So it's great to have you on. We should get into it we'll get into it in a couple seconds. I just got to run the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all Scotchy Bourbon Boys things, t-shirts, Glencairns. You know, I set up all the stuff and I forgot to put a tasting glass up. I've got little ones down there, but I'll get to that. And then also, we are on all the major podcast formats. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. You could check us out on iHeartRadio and Spotify, but ask Alexis, ask Siri. They'll play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys for, you know, whatever you want. And then also all social media platforms. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Check us out there. Talk to us there. And, you know, find us, listen. But remember, like, listen, comment, and subscribe, and leave good feedback. You know, it helps us out a lot. So, I'm looking forward to this because although it's a premium spirit, you guys have a lot of good stuff, you know. Now, Adam Roberts just said he's got a question. He said in his bottle collection, he has his Buckner 13 next to a bottle of Stag, and he noticed the bottles are similar. Is that on purpose or the point similar in the rye with the, you know, the Stag level good, or, you know, yeah, I think it's a standard bottle, but you go on the fact that the
sure. Yeah, in terms of the glass itself, I don't think that there was any intentionality there, but it doesn't hurt to be mentioned in the same thought thread as the products that we listen. We're all hunters in one way or the other. The products that we all hunt and look to find when we can as well. So there's nothing on purpose there when it comes to the bottle, the proof points. Where we're positioning ourselves, because proof is a great segue into just kind of a brief, hey, here's what we are, here's who we are. It is fitting because our stake is in the ground right now as being a single barrel, cask strength, unfiltered Kentucky bourbon producer. Right now we're sourcing, and I don't think that's a big secret. I think everybody has known that we've been sourcing, for a while. You don't come to the market when nobody's ever heard of you with a 13-year-old whiskey.
Right.
And surprise, we've just been quietly distilling for 13 years now. Like many brands that start, we have to fill a gap between the time when we really want to start creating cash flow for a business and the time where our own distillate is mature enough at a point where we're comfortable releasing it. So for us, that sweet spot is going to be 8 years. So 13-year, you know, we had the inventory aging, that those were barrels that were sourced a while ago by somebody who is now our president, by the way, Ryan Edwards. He had purchased those a long time ago. And then met the people who were going to be starting Augusta Distillery, and Ryan is one of the more, I guess, you know, intelligent bourbon minds that I've ever met. He comes from a banking background, but his true passion has been bourbon and specifically ultra premium or longer age bourbon. So as a company, we're saying to the distribution network right now, the product that you're going to be able to find on the shelf, whether in Ohio at your OHOQ agency, in Kentucky at your stores, in the other areas of distribution that we'll get into that we're about to expand into, 8 years minimum, and everything will be single barrel, cask strength, unfiltered Kentucky bourbon. And that's just, you know, that's where we're at as a company. And that's where we've said that we want to focus on. Now, can that change? Sure. We can always pivot with the trends and with where the market goes. But right now, we do think that the market is here. And that's what we're focusing on. And when we flip on our stills drumroll please, in February of 2024. We've got 18 fermenters right now in our production facility that are getting put into place. Our copper is getting delivered within weeks. And then it's all systems go on connecting the pipes and the wiring, the electric, the welding, everything that needs to happen to start producing the first, to our knowledge, legal distillate out of Augusta, Kentucky, historically. So we're really excited for that. Probably going to be laying down our first barrels of distillate that comes from Augusta, Kentucky, I'm thinking around April. You never know what could happen with machinery, with lead times, but right now we're eyeballing April for the first Augusta distillate to be put into Rickhouse number one in Augusta, Kentucky.
Well, that's...
I hope that answers your question, Adam.
That's exciting. Now, what do you got the dimensions on the still? What size still that you're putting in?
Yeah, so 14-inch diameter. It's about 3 stories tall. Custom piece from Vendo, which, you know, is the premier still maker. Making just beautiful pieces that produce some of the best bourbon in the world. So we're really excited to be getting that in soon. We're starting with one. And then by 2025, we will have a twin for it. So what that means in terms of production capacity is by late 2025, we'll have the capacity to produce about 12 to 15,000 barrels of Kentucky bourbon annually. So the first, let's say, 2,500, 3,000 will be stored on site in Augusta. And we have 2 rickhouses under construction right now, about a mile and a half outside of Augusta, still in Bracken County, where the rest of those barrels will start populating.
That is a great stat. That is one thing that will be, you know, you're going to be 12 to 15,000 barrels being laid down a year. Then you figure 8 years. And you do that. You do the math on that as it first starts to come out. That is excellent, exciting. You know, I mean, what you'll be able to supply opposed to what you're supplying now. I mean, 50 even. I don't know, but I can't imagine your stock is 15,000 barrels even at this point. Right. So you're looking at that. That makes sense for purchasing and getting the name out and everything. And then once you start to do that distillate, but that's really kind of cool. Myself and Roxy have to come down. I was supposed to initially pick up this bar top in Dansville this weekend, but that fell through because of normal production problems that happen in the industry. So I wasn't able to pick that up. So I have to schedule a time to pick that up in January. So since I've already covered a certain part of Kentucky, maybe we can work it out that I get a little look at what you guys are, where you're at.
We would love that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, from Danville, you'll have to come quite a ways. So, and this would probably be helpful too. So Augusta, Kentucky, right? Because the first question we get oftentimes is, oh, so you guys are out of Georgia. And, you know,
yeah,
I've been dealing this with, you know, dealing with this my whole life as someone who grew up in Augusta, Kentucky, went away to college in Chicago, that area. And then, you know, lived in Northern Illinois for a bit, lived in Lexington for a bit. Even people in Lexington are like, oh, you're from Georgia. I was like, it's an hour and a half from here. You've never heard of Augusta, Kentucky? But it kind of makes sense. Augusta, town of about 1,100 people, on the banks of the Ohio River, about 45 minutes east of Cincinnati. So distillery speak, which I like to give, we're right between New Riff in Newport and Old Pogue in Maysville. So you've got DSP number 3, and you got DSP 20,000 some. We're also in the 20,000, but we're essentially creating a bridge between the old Pogue, Maysville, and the new Riff, Newport, that is going to mean a lot for those areas because we're able to create a connection between those two places that's going to lead to tourism, it's going to lead to more visitors in each of those small towns and communities. You know, thrilled to be a part of the Beeline, which promotes all those businesses as well. And, you know, it's a great time to be doing this where we're doing it. But yeah, it's a it's kind of a special situation. It really is. You know, being somebody who's from Augusta and also being on the grassroots team, the original team that's taking this to the market and saying, hey, okay, buy this sourced, you know, older bourbon right now with the promise of, you know, because we're not saying this is not our distillate, it's not our distillate, but what we can promise people is that we know what good bourbon tastes like. If you follow the award circuit and you saw what happened in San Francisco with Buckner's 13 winning bourbon of the year there, you know that we know what really good bourbon tastes like, and we're going to commit the same amount of time and energy and the quality control that we do right now for our source barrels as we do the barrels that we will begin putting away ourselves. So all that to say, you know, Augusta isn't a terrible drive from anywhere. It's about as centrally located as you can be from some place that's really far away from other places.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look.
We all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit seriously.
Yeah. Well, just remember, I live in Canton, Ohio. So when I'm coming back, I can cross over in Maysville. So you know what I mean? So we just swing there and then go up to Maysville, cross over. We could pick Maysville or Cincinnati, but probably head that way and then cut across the state. But that would be probably also determined in January how much snow is predicted. Because when you do the Maysville way, a lot of side roads, you know what I mean? A lot of.
Maysville, if you're coming from Maysville, you know that you would be taking old Route 8 to Augusta.
Right.
Which is the namesake of, you know, of the bottle that you've got there and of the product that truly will become synonymous with Augusta Distillery because it's going to be what's readily available at all times. And that was intentional, you know, Old Route 8, just to dive into the product and the story behind the product a little bit.
Which I have here.
You know, that's been the vein that has connected Augusta to the rest of the world for generations. It is how commerce continues to get to Augusta and from Augusta. You know, if you're talking about the mid-1900s, it's how my grandfather got to work to Cincinnati at the shoe factory when my dad was old enough. It was how he started carpooling to get to work for the factory in Cincinnati so that they could find gainful employment. And to this day, you know, people are taking Old Route 8 to and from Cincinnati and Maysville and even further beyond that. And so this is our way to pay homage to, you know, to the road that really served as that glue for Augusta and helped make it stick. So we're really proud of Old Route 8. That traditional bottle was predecessed by a first edition release. You know, we mentioned about 72 bottles left in Ohio right now in the first edition. Probably some on shelves in Kentucky, a little bit harder to track. You know, same mash bill as Buckner's 13, so 74, 12. Use my cheap bottle here because I've got some Buckner's 13. You know, but what we believe to be, you know, a good traditional bourbon mash bill. And we loved all of the notes of the Buckner's 13 mash bill so much that when the opportunity arose for us to get that distillate at 8 years, We saw the opportunity and we seized it to celebrate the launch of the brand that we know people will begin associating us with most. You know, so that first edition bottle is all but gone now. and it's being replaced by a traditional, which is you know, a fantastic bourbon as well. You know, and for those who might think, okay, well, why isn't it all going to be the same mash bill? Well, the reason being, because eventually Old Route 8 will be joined by, you know, three other mash bills. We're going to have your traditional, that is going to be available all the time. It'll eventually be joined by a high rye that's available, a wheated that's available, and then a sweet mash that's available. And then by the time the sweet mash comes out, what you're going to see is that transition of sourced distillate mixing into the market with Augusta distillate, with our own distillate. So then that transition period happens, in perfect timing for us to continue working on those mash bills, that some of which coming up will be contract distillate releases. You know, I think the wheated is contract, the high rye and the sweet mash might be contract as well, but we're going to be able to, you know, continue that old Route 8 brand, you know, not unlike other popular brands that you see on the shelf right now with, four, five, six product facings with just the same label, just in a different color to indicate which one. You know, the first one that comes to mind for me is Weller, right? You've got that super recognizable Weller label, and the only variant is telling you what the mash bill, you know, what the mash bill represents, whether it's the, you know, the CYPV or whether it's the antique, and then the cover. And so, you know, we're going to have our own version of that on shelves where people are going to be able to easily recognize it. They're going to pick it because it has been in the market long enough to where they know they can trust it. And each release will still be a single barrel, cask strength, unfiltered release.
That's awesome. So Old Route 8, this is a blend of different barrels, right?
No, these are all single barrels.
Single barrels. So this the traditional is a single, this is the second single barrel in the line. The first one was the first release, and now this one. Okay. Whoop, almost dropped. Wow.
So when you're going to the store, everything you find is going to be a single barrel. So, you know, if you've got two stores in Canton, they might each have a different barrel represented there. It's not to say that they pick, because they'll be spread out, but each bottle is representative of a single barrel of our sourced bourbon.
So, Pauly Baloney. I got my Route 8 in Ohio earlier this year. Are they part of that special release? Yeah.
Got it in Ohio, those will be first edition releases, probably.
Yeah. And quite frankly, in the Columbus area, I was in Columbus this weekend, and there was a Route 8 on the shelf when I was there. So it's available in the Columbus, you know, the southern part of the state. So if you're, you know, hearing about it, there's like you're saying, one of the amazing things of what OHLQ is doing for distilleries like yourself is being able to give you the data of what your product's doing and where it's doing well. It gives you, you know, their computer system is like, you know, it's not like you get that everywhere in the country, right? I mean, it's
sure. Yeah. It's honestly the tracking, you know, the control state, the politics of the control state, the arguments about the control state, you know, they can be so divisive, you know, from the consumer level, especially. I understand, but I can never say enough good things about how, from a supplier perspective, OHLQ is able to get us so much beneficial information for us. It's so helpful. The real-time tracking is unlike a lot of places in the country. And it's all there. And it's there for you for free as a supplier, for you to log on whenever you want. It makes my job as a salesperson a lot easier to know where I might need to pull bottles from, where I might need to send bottles to, where I might need to set up tastings. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's like where to concentrate. you know, you might be doing really well in one area and you might want to stop in the area momentarily because tell everybody they're doing a great job. And so, but then where you might not be as strong. I mean, there's no doubt the team at OHLQ has been doing a super job. So that's one thing. And when you were telling me you were getting that data, that's one of the first times I've talked to somebody that they talk about the data. And it's really kind of cool that you know specifically how many bottles are left. And I mean, 72 bottles off that barrel. It's delicious. I mean, it's a good, and it's a first release. And now you guys with, you know, getting ready to open that distillery and do everything that you're doing. I mean, it's a collectible thing also. Although Paulie said, to be honest, both are empty. So I thought that was cool. Yeah.
Go back out and find some more, or let me tell you, you can always trade up too. Because this is something that you, I know I don't want to rush ahead because I know you just poured yourself some more Rade, but I think you and I are both nursing a little holiday party bourbon fatigue maybe.
But that's this, right?
So that's, yeah. So you got a sample bottle there. This, see how close I can get to the screen there on my phone.
Yeah.
Is Buckner's 10-year single barrel cask strength unfiltered. I'm not sure what barrel number, what proof you got here, but I've got here right now, barrel number 22, bottle number 208, 108.6 proof. So what this bottle is meant to do is it is meant to round out our ultra premium brand, which, you know, right now we're known for the Buckner's brand. We're known for Buckner's 13. You know, if you got one of these, I mean, good on you. Like, that's incredible. But the 15-year, 60 bottles were released to Ohio. 60 bottles were released to Kentucky. There was so little. I mean, this was a six-barrel release. This is our 15-year Buckner, same mash bills, the 13-year. And so what we've done with the 10-year is we've presented, you know, to bourbon fans out there a little bit easier way, I think, of getting a Buckner's bottle. Because right now, I got super lucky. I was driving through LaGrange, Kentucky recently, stopped at a fast lane liquor store there, found a bottle of Buckner's 13 at MSRP, so I immediately bought it. To be honest with you, I had to have it. It had been so long since I had one of my own bottles of Buckner's 13 that I needed to get it. But that being said, you're seeing it pop up on the secondary market now a little bit more. And from a price point perspective, that can sometimes make things less accessible, you know, to somebody who really wants a bottle of it, who's really going to take it home, open it, and enjoy it. So Buckner's 10 is hitting. So it's been out in Kentucky, 200 cases to Kentucky, another 200 cases to Ohio. And it just is getting out on Ohio shelves this week. So if you have like last minute holiday shopping needs, if you're one of those people who's going to go like me on the 23rd and do some shopping, you might be popping in at a couple stores, you know, $149.99. So that's $50 less than Buckner's 13. Makes it a little bit more accessible for sure. And if you are the type of person who has a bottle of 15 and a bottle of 13 at home, and maybe they're unopened, or if they're open and you still have some left and you want to round out that collection, or you want to round out that series, you know, Buckner's 10 will be the youngest Buckner's. And then as some of these honey barrels in that program age up to 10, 13, and 15 over the years, there will be hyper limited releases again of each, but they will be few and far in between. So, you know, this kind of last minute push, it's available at the distillery for sure. But, you know, for those who can't put Augusta on the schedule yet, we completely understand that. You know, it's available. It's out there. Start looking for it this week. Get after it.
Well, one thing that I did notice is that when you first started, I saw I believe it was the 199.15 that was released here in Ohio. And a lot of people at that price point didn't know what to make of it yet. You know, so sure, it was there. I mean, I looked at it a couple times whatever. I hadn't met you yet. I had no idea. You know, quite frankly, you said everybody's talking about Augusta, Georgia, but I'm even dumber. I will admit it. I was thinking Canada, and then I looked up and it's I got you guys confused initially with Alberta.
Oh.
So I mean, so that it wasn't even the same name, right? But yet, you know, because there's a lot out there, and when you first see it, you're not sure. And I'm always doing, but then once I it's straight in my brain now. There's no doubt about it. You guys have done a good job marketing. You could tell people in Ohio are enjoying it, you know, and they like, and the fact that it's here, Ohio doesn't realize that this quality bourbon is available to them here, you know, and that's something, it's just not everywhere.
Sure. That's very true. Yeah. And one thing that I do like to say, and I know anytime you start talking price, it can be sensitive. It's a sensitive subject for sure. But there are a lot of bourbons out there right now that a lot of us would be willing to pay beyond secondary market prices for because of the name of the product, because of the label, because of where it came from. What we aim to do is say, and this, by the way, is once we have your trust. And that's a big deal for us. So that's why we're being as transparent as we can be, you know, within the scope of a non-disclosure agreement with where our sources are from and things like that, which we all have to do. But, you know, once we truthfully are able to earn everyone's trust, which we're working hard to do, what we want them to know is that this product, these barrels that we source, the quality control they go through, you're going to get the same experience from the bottle that you are in some of those bottles that you're tracing around the country, chasing around the country, you know, trying to get to stop at home or just to stock at home. And they do come at a premium, but that premium oftentimes is still a little bit less than the prices that we're all paying on secondary right now for the bottles that none of us can get around seeing come across our feeds or our screens every day. You know, well, and for us being able to make something, to source something, to bottle something, to present something that is findable, that's available, that you can go and get a backup of or two backups of, that's really important to us. You know, and that's the goal. Accessible ultra premium bourbon. Are you willing to pay a little bit more for it? Sure. But you know, you're not going to go get A5 Wagyu and pay $29.99 for it.
Well, and you guys are, it's aged bourbon. You guys purchased aged bourbon at a time when that's at a premium. So like what you'd probably hope eventually, now we're talking, you start distilling and 8 years later and then 13 years later down the road and 15, I wouldn't say the price will become lower because based off what I've been seeing lately, you know what I mean? But maybe it would be held as you get in more into your own stuff because it's right there, because it shouldn't have to go up because you have to keep buying source barrels. Because, you know, I've talked to many people and, you know, it's one thing to buy 3-4 year old whiskey sourced, but it's another thing to start buying it 7-9 years and then you're aging it further. Where you age it, I mean, some people don't understand. Well, you can put the money down now, but if it's still aging at the sourced area, then it's not like they do that for free.
Yeah, you're paying rent for that barrel, man. You're paying taxes on that barrel every year. The rent, that barrel, unlike an 18-year-old, you're still responsible for everything on that barrel, you know, after no matter how many years. And so, you know, the faster we get those rake ounces up in Augusta, the faster that we get our inventory right now of sourced bourbon into our own rake houses, that's going to make a huge difference. And to your point about selling your own distillate, yeah, the margin you've got to believe, and who knows what the market's like in
15
years.
Yeah,
you know, let's round up to 10 years and say, when Augusta Distill is exclusive is on the market, who knows what things are going to be like then? You know, as much as I wish that I could predict the future, there's no way of truly knowing what the landscape of bourbon is going to be like at all. So,
how much it's changed since 2018? It's just insane, you know.
So, yes. So, then you understand, you know, when brands like us, and there are a lot of brands right now that are starting up and having to source, and the brands that are doing that are paying more for barrels that are meant to be bottled off than historically we've ever paid before.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. It's pricey out there. It's worth it. It's worth it, for sure.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people. I will say that initially when I got into this, and I still feel like I've been in it for a while and have gotten a really good education, but I really started getting into bourbon at the middle of 2018. And then once I started the podcast, you know, you get a lot of information. But I've watched an evolution of not only what's being produced by the distilleries and how much they've had to up their game, where they were at, where they already knew there was a boom. But now, you know, there's a lot of, like yourself, and there's a lot of distilleries bringing on large volume distilleries online. And now I'm just starting to see the shelves since I, you know, when I first got into it, them being able to supply some of the stuff everybody wants. And they're starting to be able to get it to more people. You see that they had increased it. But now it's just like, you know, you could just go through a bunch of different distilleries. Buffalo Trace is double production. You know, you ask Harlan Wheatley, well, you do realize that you get all your Blantons from a specific Rick house, and you know that you advertise. How are you gonna double your production and put it in the? You can't put it in this. You know, you can only fit so much in one Rick house, and they're like, we built Rick houses that are exactly the same. It's just like, yeah. So it's just like the amount. Obviously, the amount of. Whatever the supply is way low still, you know, in this country. And you know, the stats before prohibition is that we're still, I think this year, at like 89% of what we were producing at prohibition. And I believe during prohibition the population was 2 billion, and right now it's almost 8 billion. It's just like when you think about the amount of people, it's not just the people in America. People don't quite understand that there's a desire for bourbon overseas. Now, I know you guys are probably not hitting that market at the moment, but I guarantee you there are people trying to acquire it over there.
Yeah, I just saw a post today, Southern Ontario Bourbon Society. They had a bottle of Buckner's 13, so somebody must have found a way to mule one across the border, which... I love it. You know, that kind of thing makes me really proud to be a part of a team that's doing so much for the town that I grew up in, for the town that my mom still lives in. We stayed there with her last night after the holiday party. And to be able to share the message of what small town Kentucky, small town USA is like with people all across the country, and someday for sure, you know, someday, across the world, we got to grow to that point for sure. But for now, it's like, you know, since 2020, 2021, it's been Kentucky, Ohio, and then, you know, if you're familiar with Seal Box, you know, Blake Ryber over there has picked plenty of barrels from us, does an incredible job of spreading the word and marketing it to a national database of his mailing list, that sort of thing. You know, you can honestly look at companies like Seal Box and say, okay, they contributed to the growth of so many brands. We appreciate that. It's on Bourbon Outfitter, another one that's doing the same thing, and, you know, super appreciative of that. But they can't necessarily get the same volume into the other places you want to expand unless you work through the three-tier network of distribution. So, you know, Indiana just got its first palette of product. So we're proud to say that we've kind of captivated the tri-state area in Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana. And then, you know, a couple days after getting that first purchase order from Indiana, we got one from Missouri and Kansas, working with an incredible distributor down there that has already worked really hard to get a palette placed for us. You know, Q1, so January, February, March, expect to see us with Old Route 8 and a little bit of Buckner's 10 in places like Tennessee and Michigan. I'm working with North Carolina right now. We're hoping to see it in Texas and Florida, you know, between January and March as well. So you could be in 10 to 12 states by mid-2024 and really working to spread, you know, not just the bottles, but the message of where Augusta, Kentucky is, why you should put it on your map for your bourbon travel destination list, and why you should give it a chance, and why you should give it a chance in addition to us putting out quality product, is that, you know, for us, philanthropy and being involved in the community in Augusta is a huge deal. So, you know, in addition to already ensuring that we're a company that's, you know, community-based, we're working really hard with the small independent school there, which is the school that I graduated from, by the way. K-12, one building, 300 students, in a primarily low-income area. You know, the student population just is primarily low-income and qualifies for free and reduced lunches. So that is our focus for our nonprofit giving, is to the foundation that has been set up to benefit the school and its students and its educators. You know, we just, on Friday, I think Friday is the deadline, like Thursday at midnight is the deadline. Right now we're auctioning off a barrel of Buckner's 10 with 100% of the proceeds from that auction going to the school. That barrel is worth around $22,000. We're at 12 and a half right now, to be honest with you. I'm hoping in the, you know, in the 11th hour, we see an influx of bids.
Right.
That way we can, you know, get a nice check off to the school. But I was a student there once. I know what it's like in the summers to need to benefit from the school lunch program 365 days a year. You know, that's really important to us. And so when you go out and when you're in Missouri or when you're in Texas someday or you're in Indiana, Michigan, any of those states, and you're buying a bottle of Old Route 8 or a bottle of Buckner's 10 or anything else that we put out, what we want people to know is, like, it's bourbon and, you know, it is what I like to say. It's bourbon and, you know, the feeling of knowing that when you pick up a bottle, you're giving back to people who need it. It's bourbon and lifting up a small town of really hardworking people who've worked hard for a long time. You know, it's bourbon and building a multi-million dollar facility that is always going to have at its core the best interests of the people of Augusta, the school in Augusta, and to go beyond that, Bracken County, Kentucky in general.
Yeah, the jobs. It brings jobs. So now go into now. So we were talking a little bit earlier about Whiskey Thief, and you were talking about, you know, it's the same. Talk about, because where you guys differ from Whiskey Thief is you're distributing beyond the distillery. But the right now, if you'd visit you guys right now, there is an experience that can be had, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, go into that, because that is a cool thing.
Sure. So when you come to Augusta, what we aim to do is we want to inform you about what makes Kentucky bourbon, bourbon, and what makes bourbon the national spirit of the United States and its territories. We also want to entertain you by allowing you to be the cellarman, let's say, or the, you know, the rickhouse facility manager. So what you're going to do when you come to Augusta is you're going to start off by learning about what makes bourbon bourbon, but in the setting of tasting through three different barrels of varying age, mash bill, and rickhouse storage style. Those barrels are in front of you, and you are going to be popping bungs You are going to be using traditional copper whiskey thieves, and you're going to be pulling your own samples. You're going to be pouring sample for your buddy next to you. Obviously, we have to watch to make sure you're not over-serving them, you know, within the legal limits, obviously, all of this. So, but you're using the tools that we use, you know, that historically distilleries have used over the ages to taste from barrels to see if it's ready, you know, to do quality control. So you're getting to do that straight from the barrels in a group of people led by Billy Bays, who is just so well-versed in everything bourbon and more. A true spirits enthusiast who really has a good grasp of how to delight a guest. He's just got the best personality for it. He's an incredible person. We've got a great team of people who do it in addition to him. But if you get there and you are able and fortunate to get the Billy Bays experience, I mean, it's top-notch, second to none. And, you know, on top of all of that, once you've gone through those three barrels, right now it's a two-year-old weeder. It's a five-year-old high rye, and it's a six-year-old traditional. So once you get through tasting through all those, talking amongst yourself, looking at your tasting board that's in front of you, you know, we allow you to then take that same copper thief and start filling up bottles. You know, you can take up to, I think it's 9 liters of bourbon. We can legally sell you up to 9 liters. It's all in the form of 750 milliliter bottles, but you'll pick the bourbon that you want. You'll fill your bottle. You replace your label. You're going to write out your mash bill. You're going to write out the date. You're going to write out the age yourself. So it's a handwritten label that you've been able to do yourself. You can pop the cork in it. You can seal the plastic enclosure around it. And it's as much of an experience of working in a distillery, being in a distillery, that we can give you. And then we take you on a brief tour of what is still currently an active construction site. But people have really enjoyed seeing the process, and we've had so many people coming back over and over again because they heard, oh, so now you've got fermenters in. Well, we want to peek through the window and see that. Or, you know, your water tower's up the back. Yeah, let's go back to Augusta this weekend so we can see what is new to the small Augusta skyline that we have there. It's an incredible experience. I actually get to take a group of friends coming up next month. I'm really excited about and run them through it. But, you know, all of that you can do for under $30. Obviously, you pay for the bottles that you want to bottle yourself. But that experience that's inclusive of 3 to 4, you know, pours of bourbon, essentially $30. You know, our bar is open for you to taste, you know, bottles that, you know, bottles like Buckner's 13, if we have a Buckner's 10 for sure, Old Route 8. And the bottles that you're bottling for yourself, by the way, are under a distillery exclusive brand called River Proof. So something that will never be distributed outside of Augusta, that it will be exclusively yours, you know, so you'll be one person to get that barrel. You know,
it doesn't get released beyond the distillery, right?
Right.
So, exactly. So Ross Cornelison, who is the master distiller at Barton 1792, asked the planned capacity. Now it's 12, what did you say, 12 to 15,000 barrels, or 10 to 15
annually.
Yeah, annually.
15 annually.
Once you get both stills in.
Exactly. So those will be continually operating. Late 2025 is, I think, when we'll probably be at full capacity there. And I think I met you at
Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Yeah, Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Ross actually, when we went into, I'm just getting a couple crackers here to cleanse my palate. But when we went in Ross came in and I interviewed him and I asked him what he was going to try, and he told me Old Route 8. So I was right there with him when he tried the Old Route 8.
Yeah, I thought I remember that for sure. Yeah, I mean, that can be a blurry weekend too.
I don't know. You worked. Now, were you part of that bottle share group at the Motor Lodge or no?
No. No, I didn't make it over there. That was a day trip for me. So I got there in the morning, set up, and then drove back to Cincinnati that night.
Which isn't that bad, but yeah.
It's not, no. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about, you know, I'm centrally located here so that I can hit all of these places that we are and all of these places that we're going with the help of, you know, an awesome airport and CBG, you know, right across the river in Hebron. So I can get anywhere I need to be right now in like 3 hours, 4 hours, perfect.
Well, and I really think that's part of Kentucky's, I don't know if it was on purpose strategy, but in realistically, the fact that the relationship to the Frankfort area, the Louisville area, and the Bardstown area, and now it's going to go a little bit south with Elizabethtown, they're all within an hour of each other. So in a day, it's not, you know, it's not unthinkable to go from start out in Bardstown, hit Frankfort, and end up in Louisville and be able to do the trifecta of the area, you know, and then you got the Lexington. I mean, it's just, and then as far as you guys, you're just right above and in, you know, like you're like above the Frankfort since the Frankfort Louisville route. You're just a little bit above in the middle.
Yeah, we're, you know, we're up here in an area that I do think you have to be a little bit more intentional to get to. New Riff is pulling in a ton of people right now. So, you know, that's awesome for us too, because for the people that are planning a weekend on the Beeline in the Northern Kentucky region, Greater Cincinnati region, you know, that all of a sudden makes us a lot more accessible because people have a reason to come out this way. You know, between us, Pogue, Boone County, Neely, you know, and then you have some smaller ones. Pensieve in Newport is a great little operation. Second Sights in Ludlow doing some stuff other than bourbon as well. Really fun places to visit. You know, those are our neighbors. And like, you know, the saying, I think, high tide rises all ships. We firmly believe in that. You know, we want to see all of them. We want to see everybody right now flush with tourism as many days a week as they can do it, as many days a week as it makes sense to stay open, because it makes us all better.
And once again, not yet competing with each other, because you're not. It's just like everybody seriously who's producing isn't having any problems. If you're having problems, it's not because someone else is taking the business off. You're having problems based off of whatever you're doing. You know what I mean? If you're doing it right, it's selling. I mean, it's just even proven over and over and over with how much MGP sells, you know? Now, one thing that's great is that this is Kentucky Straight Bourbon. So we all know it's not sourced by MGP. And like you said, I've heard a couple people who write have deduced. I won't sit there. We won't go in there who the sourcing is from, because you have a non-disclosure. Yeah. Right. But, you know, they pretty much go by exactly whatever, and then they'll just be straightforward. And so if you look around people, you can kind of some people have figured it out. But with that said, let's talk about I believe this was, I got this bottle signed by when I was at, when we were at Revival.
Revival, probably, yeah.
Yes. And I'm forgetting his name.
So that was probably Judd.
Judd, yes, thank you.
We're probably there doing that, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we have an incredible group of founders who have already and will continue to play integral roles and, you know, shift in and out of positions kind of as needed, like who's best for the position, you know, in this time. So, you know, right now, Ryan Edwards is our president, and some of the other founders are in more board member positions, to where they can kind of, from a high level, you know, work on operating day-to-day big decisions. There's a lot of big decisions that are being made right now as a place that is actively under construction and working toward, you know, first phase, which is getting production up and running. So now Ryan is day to day, and just an incredible guy who's doing an amazing job of guiding the personnel and staff right now. And, you know, it's wonderful to have somebody who has committed day to day. So he left post, you know, as a his role as like a senior vice president at a bank, and left that and said, okay, bourbon is my career now. Bourbon's my dream, and bourbon is now in his full-time job, while the others on the board of founders oftentimes have full-time jobs away from the distillery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Whereas they were doing a little bit more, now we've been able to really focus on having Ryan lead the teams.
Well, and also, what like you it's not an easy to be a promoter, as you know, as you're an ambassador, you are there for the company, you promote it. Time-wise, it's not forgiving. I mean, you take phone calls all hours of the evening because it's whiskey. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And then also, there's traveling involved. And I don't care what anybody says. You can drive, you can fly, you can be escorted. But, you know, you do a day where you're promoting bourbon, you're sipping bourbon, and you're doing it. By the end of the day, it's not like the normal 9-to-5 job. And every time you do it, it seems to be a little bit different. You know what I mean? Every time I go someplace or do things, sometimes there's a lot of whiskey flowing. And then other times it's like, well, we didn't even drink it, you know? But you don't know what to expect from a day-to-day thing, as you know. And sometimes, it's what would you say? It's just it's like existing in a different part of your mind compared to other jobs. And it's not something that is easy to do.
No, not easy. That's for sure.
It's fun. It's definitely fun.
It's a blast, and at times it's exhausting, and at times it's super frustrating. You know, but like anything, it's also super rewarding. You know, for me, like the rewards have always outweighed the costs. You know, for me, this has been a really, you know, from a social standpoint and a feel-good standpoint, a high return on investment for what I've put into it. Because the people that you meet are second to none. Like, this community of people is just fantastic. You know, and I'm super grateful for all the people that I've met in the short time that I've been with, you know, little over a year at Augusta. And in that time, I feel like I've made lifelong friends and connections, people that I now talk to about way more than just bourbon, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that I look to as a mentor, whether they know it or not. You know, Barry Brenninger at RD1 comes to mind, somebody that I've asked about sales and distribution. He's their national brand ambassador. He's just a good guy. You know, Doc Mangan at the Lexington Bourbon Society, somebody that I know that I could call anytime I'm in Central Kentucky and say, hey, you want to hang out? Should catch up. He's going to do that. You guys, you know, I know that anytime I ever run into you, I ran into CT at Bellevue Bistro a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
I had breakfast with my mom, and I ran into him, you know, eating. And so it's about way more than just bourbon. Bourbon's obviously the unifying factor, but the things that we've been able to accomplish together because of bourbon, you know, the ripple effect is way larger.
Well, but that's why. That's what I tell everybody. Some people are like, you're just in it for the bourbon, or they'll be like, what, the bourbon is too important. And I'm just like, no, I'm in it for the people. Honestly, bourbon is the connecting factor. It's something that when people who are in this what would you say, bourbon life or whiskey life? It's in perspective, because you're not consuming it as if it's whiskey that you're trying to do shots on. You're consuming it you're consuming it to relax and have a good time with people. It's a social thing, and the people within the group, for whatever reason, people whose brain go to bourbon and can enjoy bourbon, are fantastic individuals. They're well grounded. They're not fake. They're real. I mean, you know, you meet the marketing people, and that's a different story, okay? The marketing's a little different. But as far as the people making it and supporting it, and I even look at it like marketing people are different than promoters. You know, people who promote it with the people working directly, you know, when Booker was going around talking about bourbon, he had people that were with him that promoted with him. And he wasn't on, you know, when those people still to this day talk about what it was like to go on the road with him and how grounded and what he did and, you know, how he did it. And he set standards for how you had to go about doing it. And it's the same thing today. You still can go around to the individual places, meet the individual bar owners, meet the individual liquor store owners, and talk to them and know them. And it's just still part of the whole process because they're part of it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this has by far been, I think, you know, I've worked in a couple different fields. I was a journalist for a while. Worked in marketing and small business for a little bit before I got into craft spirits. But this has by far been the most rewarding, you know, career path that I've chosen for myself.
Right. It's rewarding personally. Absolutely. You know, it's like people appreciate what you're doing and they appreciate you. And there's certain aspects of, you know, there's a lot of sharing. There's no doubt about it. And it's just, I've made more friends easily in the last 5 years than I made in my whole life. I mean, I just have, you know, meet such good people. And then when you get together, you know, and you're always, like you said, we're always running into each other. And it's just, I mean, it's something that you want to be associated with, I think. And so that for sure. Let's just talk and give. I'm drinking now in this. All right. So I'm really supporting the thing. I got the Beeline Glencairn right here. And, oh, very nice. You know, very you nice. Guys are part of that.
Yeah. Let me see. I'll go back to my Buckers 13 here. I know I was telling you a little bit earlier what I was drinking. So I started out with the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Rye. And then I went Eagle Rare.
Why? Who can go wrong with that?
Right, exactly. But then this is now my I think my third little pour of Darkness 13. Now the one that I've got was actually a pick by Star Liquor in Northern Kentucky.
Okay.
And this might have been one of the OGs because this was Barrel 13. So that was probably the first release of Buckner's 13 back in 2021. 123.9 on the proof for what I'm sipping here. Now, I know you got a Hazzy, right?
Yeah, I got the Revival.
Nice.
At 140, I think it's 141.
So
70.5.
Yeah, that was what an incredible experience. They picked the first Buckner's 13 Hazmat out of Augusta. Sealbox picked a couple, but Brad, Shannon, their crew at Revival came and they picked the first one, and it's so fun to host them. And you know what I love about Brad, talking about people that we've met who change you like instantly. Brad Bonds is one of those people, a true champion for bourbon in general. Obviously he has a deep appreciation for the best bourbon having already been made, and I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to argue with the guy on that, that's for sure, because, you know, obviously the business model they've been able to create that proves that, I think.
I will say, I don't know. You could be right. The stuff that you taste from the 70s, the 50s, the 40s, I mean, he's got it all. And you get to taste it, and it has a very unique taste. But what is Augusta going to taste like in 50, 60 years after sitting in the bottle, because it's going to change too. It'll be a dusty. And it's not, you can never compare. You can't, there's no freezing bourbon. I don't care what you say. So it's not like we could take a 1973 and compare it in, you know, and compare it in 20 years or 50 years, whatever, because 73 to whatever is now 50 years. Because the 73 now will be 100 years. And so there's no way to compare that. But at the same time,
it's a scale, sliding scale.
Yeah. What is 50 years in the bottle going to do to the current, you know, people? All I know is history, always there's always a certain aspect of we're living in the best time. But I guarantee you in 1898, E.H. Taylor probably had a discussion about how awesome and innovative they were. And this is the best time to be living. And then also, there's a certain aspect that as it evolved, modern technology doesn't quite stack up to the way it used to be done. But in 50 years, it will. I mean, that's just how history works. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's certain things we're doing, but we don't know what it's going to, you know, exactly. But you kind of know because it's just, I mean, in 1973 and 4, don't tell me industry standards were the best ever, because in my opinion, they made some damn shitty cars that rusted out pretty quick and they were looking for quick ways to do shit, right? So yeah, they say nobody cut corners, but you know, I don't know. We don't know. They probably, it's 1974. They probably were. So,
yeah. Valid point for sure.
All right. So give your, now it's time to turn into the marketer guy.
Sure.
Give your, you know, the can spiel that you're capable of doing when you're in front of, you know, let everybody know about it.
Yeah, you know, I think I said what we're aiming to be is we want to be your go-to when you think of single barrel cask strength unfiltered Kentucky bourbon. We do. We want you to know that it's not going to have to be a special release. You're not going to have to, if it goes our way, you're not going to have to stand outside in line and wait for it or enter a lottery and hope to get it, because we want this to be available to you every day if you're willing to trade up for it, right? Because we all have those bottles that we kind of keep going back to. What we want to happen is for these bottles, for the old Route 8s and the variants, you know, the different mash bills that come out down the road, for the occasional special releases of Buckner's that happen, we want you to be willing to trade up from a price perspective to bring that home, and know that we're working really hard to make sure that this isn't something that you know, that you have to find on the secondary market. You know, there's no getting rid of the secondary market. And in some ways, the secondary market advances what we're all trying to do, whether we want to admit it or not. But what we want you to know, as somebody who's going to go home and sit down after work, you know, whether you work the 9 to 5 or a 5 to 9, or, you know, a nurse coming home from 36 hours straight, we want you to know that we're hoping to provide products that are going to be there waiting for you and will always be there waiting for you, because they're always going to be available. And we want to hear feedback, positive or otherwise. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from people. We want you to trust us. We want you to know that the most important thing to us is that we're presenting ourselves in an authentic way, in a way that makes us good stewards of what we're doing on a scale much larger than Augusta, Kentucky, but we also want it to be a scale that is resemblant of Augusta, Kentucky. You know, small town, morals and values, hard work, and doing everything we can to uplift each other and uplift Kentucky bourbon, because we believe in Kentucky bourbon. It's what we're always going to be. And high tide rises all ships. You know, we're all in this together. To go back to that, I'm not telling you to, and I would never speak poorly of another brand. We're not that type of group. We're not that type of people, personally or professionally. You know, we don't believe in putting others down in hopes of lifting ourselves up. So if you say, well, no, we don't want that because we like this. Okay, drink as much of that as you can to help that company and to make sure that those people, those staff, those employees are able to continue on in their efforts to do the same thing that we're trying to do. Because what we're trying to do, we're not reinventing the wheel. Maybe we're smoothing it out a little bit, but we're not reinventing it.
No, but I could tell you one thing. The one, when I taste Augusta and Route 8, there's no doubt that you're talking about big, bold Kentucky bourbon. It's not something different, and you're producing it from, you know, where you're producing it, but then giving the experience that you're giving. I mean, I would suggest anybody, I want to get down there. You're hitting on all cylinders when it comes to this particular way of doing it. Everybody understands there's sourcing involved to get it, and then you, like you were talking about, at one point you're gonna you might always source to get your flavor, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As you keep producing, there's so many things that are open to you guys as you grow and become bigger and get more and more, you know, stuff to you in the market. You look at even at a Bardstown Bourbon Company, their brand and their, you know, the Discovery and the other Fusion. Yeah, the Fusion, that when it first started, it was sourced way more. It was 80-20, and right now it's 20-80 as they keep coming up. But, you know, they might always be to keep that flavor, because the flavor profile is important, you know, and you got to do what you got to do to keep that going. But as far as the single barrel program, it is definitely something that is intriguing. But I'm telling you, your single barrels, you know, you're putting out a lot of single barrels. It's not like you're putting out, it's not like it's Blanton's, where it's a, or even E.H. Taylor single barrel, where those are hit and miss. You know, there's three different levels. You know, there's the, you know, if you don't get a, you don't need a topper to save you. You know what I mean? What your, each single barrel that you're putting out seems to be well thought out, and it's consistent in its flavor. You know, there's that really deep, rich, there's some brown sugar, there's a little bit of caramel, there's aspect of the oak, you know, that it's barrel strength aspect, and then there's a little nutty, like not a peanut, but like a walnut kind of thing that's going on, which everyone, when you know, all three that I've tasted have that consistency to it. So, you know, what you're doing, I've always thought, you know, the distillery has to have people who know how to taste and know what's going on, whether you're large or you're small, right?
Yeah. The quality control, the barrel vetting process, I'll tell you, is it's so intense that I've had to bow out of it a few times. You know, when we were whittling down from the lot of Buckner's 13 barrels that we had in order to pick what we were going to submit to the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, where we won a double gold and were honored in that competition as Bourbon of the Year, I think I tapped out after like maybe the first 12. I was like, this is lost on me. I'm gone, you know? So, but we have people there who are able to pull out those flavor profiles. And it's so fun to watch and listen, you know, for me, even if I'm not always able to hang in there with them.
Well, sometimes, I mean, you are a younger guy. I'm just going to throw that out. Your taste buds can be fried more easily. You know, some of the older guys like myself, our taste buds are nowhere near as it takes a little bit more to fry it because they've been fried so many times. You know, I still can taste 80 proof whiskey and get good flavors out of it. I haven't fried it that bad. Okay. But there are people out there that, you know, they'll just rip on 80 proof bourbon because they can't taste anything. And it's like, wait a second, stop ripping on the whiskey. Because most people, yeah, most young people, they're getting fried by that 80 proof. It's like, it's not their fault. So anyways, all right. So thanks for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. So the way that it's going to work, going forward right now, is we'll bow out of the audio. We'll still be live on Facebook and YouTube, and then maybe talk a little bit and then finish up there. And if you want to go while I finish up there, or if you want to stay, the meeting will go for a couple minutes. It's all up to you what you want to do. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. I have to do a Pauly for commenting, and Ross Cornelison. That was great to have you guys in here. Stacy Pritchard was watching, and then also Drew Harris, and there was one other guy that Pauly that was a and then was that it? Yes. Thank you, Adam Roberts. So thank you for watching tonight. And remember, we're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Matt, I would have to say you're a friend of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We've had a lot of fun this year, and I look forward to meeting you more down the road. And then also remember Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X, along with all the social, all the podcast formats, Apple, iHeart, Spotify, you know, anything, anywhere you listen, you can hear us. And then remember, good bourbon equals good times and good friends. Drink responsibly, don't drink and drive, and go out there and live your life dangerously. Little Stevo's gonna take us out.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.